Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Welcome back, everyone. Sportsaholics 24/7, Season 2, starting right now. Thank you to Madrotech for that great song. Look up Madrotech on Google. Google him. Great artist. All right, so we have three of the four guys today on the show. I'm your host, John, joined by my co-hosts, Nick and Jordan. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going, John?
How's it going, John?
All right, you know, there's been a lot of sports news over the summer that we haven't been able to talk about, but we're going to focus on the news that has come out this week. We're going to start off with the big news. What's been going on with Ray Rice? You know, first, he got a 2-game suspension from the NFL. Now he's suspended indefinitely. We don't know how long yet. He's cut from the Ravens. And after this video came out of him just absolutely knocking out his fiance. So, Jordan, we're going to start with you. Did this video surprise you?
Well, I think it's interesting because everyone was aware of what occurred back months ago when Ray Rice, when the news of this actually came out and he received his 2-game suspension, which, of course, Roger Goodell has said he did mess up on. It should have been more than 2 games. But now that we're actually seeing the video, it has to do with the emotions that people see from seeing something and just reading about it is much different. So obviously it's very shocking. It's pretty disturbing. And I think Ray Rice definitely deserves to be suspended indefinitely. Whether he'll play in the NFL, get another chance, that's another question. And I do believe people do deserve second chances. I mean, look at Michael Vick, what happened. But I think it's going to take some time, and Ray Rice is going to have to show that he is regretful of his actions, that he makes up for it by doing positive things for the community, for the NFL. And once that is accomplished, it may take a year or two, then Ray Rice, if he's able to do this, should be allowed back and given a second chance. But of course, what happened is just extremely sad and terrible and shocking and just completely awful.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we don't know what the NFL knew when they knew it. Nick, do you think Roger Goodell should resign after this? Do you think he is at fault for this at all?
Well, the truth is we really don't know what he did see and what he didn't see. But the reality is if he didn't, it's his duty, it's his job to see the video. And if he doesn't see the video, if he's unaware and if he supposedly had the opportunity to see the video, then he's at fault because it's his job to make sure he's enforcing the league properly. And if you can't do your job to enforce the league properly, then that's unacceptable. Whether or not he should resign or not, I don't know because we really don't know all the details. But he probably went to the Rebel, said, "Oh, can I have a video?" They said, "No," or whatever. And instead of trying to negotiate with them, he probably just said, "Oh, okay," so he wouldn't have to deal with it as much.
Well, I think as of right now, I mean, nothing's really been confirmed yet. The news came out today that the NFL had received a video months ago, and whether or not they covered it up for just the fact that Ray Rice is an amazing player. I know he had a down year last year, but he's still one of the top running backs in the NFL. But if it is truth that someone else in the NFL, in the front office of the NFL, did see the video and Goodell did not, I mean, we don't know the whole story right now, but that's something to see how Goodell responds and what occurs in the upcoming days should be pretty interesting.
But here's the question I have. Here's a question I have. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought for a second. I'm sorry.
All right, but I just want to quickly read a direct quote from Roger Goodell. He's obviously going to defend himself. He's going to defend the NFL. This is what he had to say. He said, quote, "We assume that there was a video. We asked for a video, but we were never granted that opportunity." So, again, we really don't know. I think eventually it'll come out if they knew anything and when they knew it. But as of now, I don't want to make any assumptions. But I think that if the NFL received this video, which according to a law enforcement agent, they did, and if this was not forwarded to Goodell, that's the fault of whoever received it. If Goodell did see the video, then I think he's definitely at fault, and I think he should resign.
Well, I will say this. As the commissioner of the NFL, it's definitely Goodell's responsibility, first of all, for if he was aware that there was a video, to obtaining that video. But the bottom line is, whoever had the video, if they're not giving it to Roger Goodell, there's really nothing he could do about that. But right now we don't know, so we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. My guess is, now you guys might like disagree with me with this, but if other people have had the opportunity to see the video, why didn't Roger Goodell have the opportunity? When I say that, I mean other people who are, you know, a part of the administration of the NFL. If they have the opportunity to see the video, why wouldn't Roger Goodell? He's the head of everything. If anybody has the opportunity to see the video, it's going to be him. I just don't think I honestly don't think he took enough time to investigate the situation properly so that he can say, well, I didn't see the video, I didn't know this, I didn't know that, so he can get away with spending Ray Rice for only two games.
Yeah, that's a great point there. And one last thing, I find it very disturbing how both these videos came out from TMZ and how the NFL was not able to get their hands on this latest video, even though they knew there had to have been a video. Goodell even admits that. So I find it very concerning that TMZ was the one that had to release it and the NFL couldn't find it to themselves.
There's videos on every elevator. Everybody is aware of that. Roger Goodell had to have been aware of that. There's no excuse.
All right. Now, before we move on to our next topic, I just want to remind everyone that if you guys have any questions for us, any comments you want to make about anything we're talking about, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Now, Jordan and Nick, you guys are both huge Jets fans, so we're going to talk about the Jets. They won in week one against the Raiders. Wasn't pretty at times, but, I mean, Geno Smith ended up with some pretty good numbers. I think he played all right. Jordan, we'll start with you. What was your reaction after watching that Jets game?
Well, at the end of the day, a win is a win in the NFL. But I think when you break down the game, there's positives and there's negatives that you could take out of it. I mean, we'll start, of course, with Geno Smith. A lot of talk during the preseason that he was much improved and he'll take that next step forward in his second year. And I think we saw signs of that in his first game. He completed over 80% of his passes. I thought he controlled the game really well. Was much more accurate than we've seen him last year. But, of course, there were those three mistakes. One, the fumble at the end zone, the interception in the first quarter, and a big sack that he took on third down, which took the Jets out of field goal range. But one thing I did like to see was that Geno Smith was running the ball more. As long as he can hold on to it, that's a good sign for opening up the offense. And with the new weapons, that could be a much improved offense this year. And as for the defensive side of the game, I think we saw what most of us expected, that defensive line of Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, and Damon Harrison. That's, of course, going to be, again, one of the best front threes in the NFL. And all the talk was about the cornerbacks and the defensive backs. I was pretty impressed with Antonio Allen in his first game at cornerback, making the transition from safety. I thought he played really well, along with Darren Walls, who was okay, and Calvin Pryor played nice, and DeJuan Landry, Calvin Pryor in his NFL debut, I thought he was pretty impressive. So overall, a win is a win. I think the Jets definitely need to improve and cut down on the penalties and mistakes if they want to have a chance of being a good football team, especially with their schedule, which is, in the next 6 weeks at least, pretty brutal. So they're going to have to get better, but for week one, I did like what I saw for the most part. What about you, Nick?
Well, I sort of liked what I saw, but when we were going into that game, here's what I was thinking. The Jets have nothing to gain this game. And what I mean by that is when the Jets play a team like the Raiders at home, you have to win that game. You must win that game. Right. I'm not impressed by the team. I'm impressed by the front seven. Their front three is tremendous. I've never seen anything like it, at least with the Jets. They were able – the Raiders couldn't do anything. In the beginning of the game, Derek Carr was able to do more, but after a while, he couldn't do anything. The pressure was too much for him. It reminded me of the Las Vegas Bowl last year. They couldn't run the ball anymore. All they had to do was pass. And, however, the Jets secondary is terrible. Yes, Antonio Allen had a good transition to cornerback from safety, but the rest of their front seven is terrible. James Jones totally outplayed Darren Walls, no matter how you look at it. He's the only
Not true. He had that one touchdown catch at the end. But for the majority of the game, I would say Darren Walls, for who he is, as for most of his career, a practice squad and a backup player, stepping in for D. Milliner, I thought he did a pretty good job.
By Darren Walls' standards, he did very well. But yeah. Darren Walls cannot be your best cover cornerback and be a winning team. That's just not going to happen. There's more holes that need to be filled, and it worries me. And honestly, I think the Jets are without question going to lose to Green Bay this Sunday. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best passers in the league, is easily going to pick apart the Jets' defense.
Well, let me ask you this, Nick. What did you think about the Jets' running game this year? I thought Chris Johnson played really well.
I didn't even touch on
it. I thought Chris Ivory was okay, and then he broke off that 71-yard run, which ended up being the difference in the game. So I think that is definitely a positive, the improved running game. And if their running game can get going early in games, it can open up the passing game. And while they may not, have a below-average wide receivers and quarterback, I think the offense could work to some extent.
Yeah, well, because like you said, now Geno Smith is running more, and that's his best bet. Like that's what he's a running quarterback. Okay, Rex's system may consist of throwing the ball. Right, he may want him to throw, but you know what? He's a running quarterback. Use your strengths to your advantage. That's all I have to say. Now they have Chris Johnson. They can run the ball. I think the only thing I would have to say is that I think they should use Bilal Powell a little bit more. I feel like the entire game they're just using Johnson and Ivory. I think put Powell in a little bit more. I don't think they're giving him a fair chance. And in terms of their receivers,
if Johnson and Ivory are working, why mess around with it? I mean, Powell could be good for a change of pace type of guy. But you have Chris Johnson, who's rushed for over 2,000 yards in one season in his career. Chris Ivory, who's a big guy up the middle, who can just run over people and run through tackles. And if that's working in games, I don't see a reason to put Powell in there as your third string running back.
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. I think the Jets already have their thunder and lightning. They have Ivory, the power guy, and Johnson, the quick guy. So I don't think there's any need to throw another running back in the mix. I think Ivory ran well, 10 carries, 102 yards. He had a touchdown as well. Chris Johnson, 13 carries, 68 yards. I know the Raiders don't have the best defense, but those are some pretty impressive numbers, I think. And you got to give a lot of credit, too, to the Jets' offensive line. They blocked pretty well.
But don't you want to add something to it? I want more than just running back. Powell has great potential. I like Powell more than Ivory, honestly. If they gave him a chance.
You would take Bilal Powell over Chris Ivory, Nick?
Absolutely. I like Powell. I like Powell better.
I don't know.
Through gaps better. He can get through gaps better.
That's a stretch, Nick.
Powell can get through gaps better. And he can go out for passes better. Ivory never goes out for passes. All he can do is run the ball.
But it worked, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's better versatility that Powell has. But how do you know that Powell can't do what Ivory can do until you give him a chance? He's proven that he can do it. He's proven that he can do what Ivory can do. If they actually put him in.
I think the past 2 years, Bilal Powell has played limited carries. I agree, he hasn't gotten to full opportunity to be to get big time minutes and carries. But Chris Ivory is also proven his days with the Saints. He was a great running back as a backup, and now with the Jets, just this power running is really incredible. And Bilal Powell, while he may not be given a chance to prove himself necessarily, I think he's done enough in the past to show you that Chris Ivory is a better option right now for the Jets.
It depends on a lot of things. I mean, it depends on so many different things, but I don't have a problem with the Jets mixing it up. It's not going to ruin everything if you give Powell a chance. I mean, the reality is Chris Ivory is good, but he's not Adrian Peterson. It's not going to kill you to put Powell in.
It's true, but you got to look at it game by game. If what was working against the Raiders was a 1-2 punch of Johnson and Ivory, I don't see a need to change things up. If one game is not working, then yes, I agree with you. Powell could be a good guy to put in there.
I'm not talking about that game. I'm not really exactly just talking about that game. I'm talking about the Jets in general, and that Powell didn't exactly get a fair chance.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what's working. What's working is what's working. But like I said, it doesn't hurt to bring him in, change things up. He's a different type of running back than Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Throw off the defense. Throw him off balance.
That's a good point. But we're going to move on quickly. Before we do, we have two callers, so let's take these calls quickly. Hi, who do we have here?
Hi, this is Sam Charest coming from New York City.
Hi, what's your question?
Hey, Morty.
I have a question for y'all. So with Ray Rice suspended indefinitely, what do you think the future will be like for the Ravens overall?
You know, I think it's going to be difficult, but I don't think that Ray Rice the past few seasons has made that big of an impact. I think that this distraction, I think the off-field distraction, the fact the media is going to be all over them for the rest of the season, I think that might make more of an impact than actually not having Ray Rice, because Ray Rice past few seasons has not been a superstar, and Joe Flacco is a pretty good quarterback, so I don't think it's going to be a huge issue.
A little overrated.
Right.
I think Flacco's overrated.
Also, with Ray Rice, there's a thing about the wives of ex-NFL players who agreed with what the wife of Ray Rice. What do you think about that?
I think that Ray Rice's fiance, soon to be wife, does kind of have a right to be upset, because not only were her and her husband embarrassed, even though her husband did an awful thing, but now that her husband's no longer in the NFL, they lost their source of income. I mean, he's making millions of dollars, and now they're going to have to figure out something to do to make money.
NFL. He lost his endorsement with Nike. He's now out of the Madden video game. I mean, all these different companies that he was associated with are now just cutting him completely off. And I do agree that I think it's a bit unfair to his fiance how that video had to be portrayed throughout the media just all of yesterday and continuing for the next couple weeks. It's a bit unfair to her. But at the same time, it's something that needs to be shown in order to get justice to Ray Rice.
What is it? NFL.com, they immediately took off his jersey. I do agree with what they did, because, I mean, come on. He's a crook now. But,
What was the question?
What would be in store for Ray Rice at now?
Well, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. I say a small market team picks him up. If you think he's not going to play in the NFL again, you're lost. Because he will. The reality is he's a talented running back, and teams are going to take him. If Michael Vick can get another job in the NFL, then so can Ray Rice.
That's a good point, and thank you for the call. We have another caller quickly. Thanks for calling in.
Hey.
What's your question? What's your name?
No, I'm just so impressed with this guy, Nick, the number one Jets fan in America, I guess. This is his sports blog talk show. Hey, it's Jimmy calling from Boston,
hey, Jimmy,
home of the last place Patriots. Good. Hey, it's great if the Patriots were in last place, you know.
It feels great. I'll enjoy it for the week.
Yeah, hey, you guys sound terrific.
Thank you. Thanks
first of all,
a lot, Jimmy.
Thank
you.
You should know that Ray Rice has $20 million in the bank, so let's not cry poverty, please. Okay? And I like Nick. I like how forceful you say he's going to play again in the NFL, and you make a great analogy with Michael Vick. Of course, Michael Vick was beating up dogs, and this guy punched out his wife. And he's also 30 years old, guys. You know, so while you think a small market team may pick him up sometime, he's a running back. Their average career is about 2.5 years. You know, he was on the decline already. So don't be so thinking that maybe that'll happen that fast.
I don't think that Ray Rice will play in the NFL ever again because, like you said, he's getting a little older. He's on the decline, and teams can get a better running back with less baggage.
That's
no,
right,
not,
and he's not that good.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the team's not going to pick him up. I mean, think about it.
And by the way, he should be a convicted felon at this point too, because he did assault someone. Just saying.
He did. He should be in jail, without question. He should be in jail.
Yep.
There are people in jail who did what he did. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he didn't go to jail, a lot of it is because of his money, and that is his wife didn't press charges.
That's right. Well, you know, domestic disputes also are different in every state. Massachusetts is different than New Jersey and New York, and, you know, it is what it is. I got to tell you, though, guys, while you've been on the radio, I don't know if you know, but Bob Costas said tonight on the Brian Williams NBC News that if it's proven that Roger Goodell knew of this video back in April when a supposed staffer received it from a law enforcement official in New Jersey, this could be the end of Roger Goodell's commissionership in the NFL, and that would be incredible.
Finally.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Finally.
Yeah,
now players can dunk on goalposts again. Like
bring back the fun league instead of the no fun league. I hear you,
he's
Nick.
No fun. He's no fun. Oh, my God.
How long you guys been doing this show?
Since December.
Well, this is the beginning of the second season.
Excellent.
We took a break this summer.
Nick, I know you. Who else am I talking to?
You're talking to my friends John and Jordan.
John and Jordan and Nick. JJ and Nick. All right. Very good. And you guys are all from New Jersey in that New York tri-state area?
Yep.
So I'm gonna let you talk a little bit about the end of a great legend in that area. You guys know I am a diehard Red Sox fan. However, the respect of Derek Jeter goes well beyond anything as far as petty sports rivalries. He's a great player, a great man. He's been a great part of that organization for many years. What feelings do you guys have? And, of course, he's been the shortstop for the Yankees your entire lives, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say I'm a diehard Met fan, and I have the utmost respect for Derek Jeter. I mean, I don't always root for the Yankees, but I would have to say that, you know, whether you love the Yankees or hate the Yankees, you got to love Derek Jeter, and you have to respect Derek Jeter. That simple.
Yes.
And
very good.
I think it's just really sad when the season's going to end and Jeter's not going to be there. It's just going to be so much different, the feel around the Yankees organization next year. I mean, even though they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year and they didn't make the playoffs last year, but Derek Jeter's just been a winner. He's been an unbelievable leader, probably the best of our generation. And it's just going to be weird not to see him there, and it's going to be really sad. Hopefully they can find a good shortstop this offseason to replace him. But it's great to see him walk out on top like this, but it's definitely going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are you guys doing on Sundays between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m.?
Watching football.
Okay, but you near phones? Are you guys near phones and the internet, like
yeah,
at your fingertips?
Course. Yeah,
because we're doing our sports talk show up here at that time. And Nick, I'll reach out to you, and we'll get either you or some of your co-hosts here. Are you guys in the same studio, or are you?
No,
just
we're
doing,
in
like,
our bedroom.
No. No, we're separate.
So, right. Okay, so it's like a conference call, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. Cause so you can't see each other.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So you have to. I want to tell you something. That's challenging, because when you're in the same studio, you know when someone wants to kind of jump in, and you know you guys are doing a good job of not talking over each other and letting the person finish before you jump in. So that's really good. You guys are okay,
man. Oh yeah.
Man.
Oh, Jimmy, we have one question to ask.
Thank you.
Yes.
Tom Brady or Peyton Manning?
Oh, man. You know, that's a great argument. You know, I think when it comes to the skill set of the quarterback, you know, the tools, the ability to make all the throws, the long ball, the touch throw, the fade, the cut, the ability to escape a rush, read the field, decision making, all those things that make up the skills of a quarterback, Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime, okay? Now, Tom Brady may be a better decision maker than Manning, certainly more clutch. He's got more fourth quarter comebacks than Manning. But I got to tell you, there's really – it's great when they play against each other because you can really see the that position being played at the highest levels. It's really unbelievable.
So we're going to get to that argument in a second, but thank you very much for the call.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
You bet. Good luck, you guys.
You
know. And Nick, I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right, so quickly before we move on to that argument, I just want to let everyone know that another big news story, the NCAA lifting their sanctions off of Penn State, or at least most of them. We will be talking about that this Friday with a former Penn State football player, Troy Davis. Troy was a linebacker on the 1986 National Championship team, so we'll have him on 4:30 on Friday. Make sure to listen to that. It'll be great. But now let's move on to our debate of the day. It's a new segment that we have. We have just over two minutes to talk about this. Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. Nick, quickly, 30 seconds, what do you think?
It pains me to say this because I'm a Jet fan, but I'm going to have to go with Tom Brady. Better playoff quarterback, it's that simple. I'd rather have the better playoff quarterback than the better regular season quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, how about you?
Well, Nick, I'd actually have to disagree with you on this one. I think when you look at the numbers, obviously they're extremely close. And I would go with Peyton Manning. I know he's definitely done more in the regular season. Brady has done more in the postseason. But if you were to ask me this question 2 or 3 years ago before Manning joined the Broncos, I would say Tom Brady. But I think what Manning's doing in Denver is just truly amazing, how he's able to respond after taking a year off and be undoubtedly the best quarterback in the league at his age. And also just the way that throughout his career, I think I would argue that he's changed the game to some extent. The fact that what he does at the line of scrimmage with recognizing defenses and changing the plays and all his audibles, and I think that's really priceless what he's done changing the game that way. Tom Brady's won 2 more Super Bowls. Manning's been to 3, Brady's been to 5, but it's really close. I would give Peyton Manning the slight edge.
Yeah, Jordan, I have to agree with you there. Both are obviously incredible quarterbacks. They're 2 of the best all time. But I do think that Tom Brady is a little bit better just because of those 3 Super Bowl rings opposed to Peyton Manning having 1. And Tom Brady, both of them haven't won a Super Bowl in a while, so I'm really interested. I think one of the two of them, I think, will win the Super Bowl this year. After week 1, it looks like Peyton Manning will with the Broncos because the Patriots did not look very good. But it's obviously an interesting debate. So I would just like to thank you all for listening in. We have to end the show now. Once again, we'll be having Troy Davis on, member of the 1986 Penn State National Championship team, to talk about Penn State and the NCAA lifting the sanctions. But thank you all for listening. Thanks to our callers, Nick and Jordan. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
and we'll be back. We'll be back Friday.
Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.